unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM. Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. 888-623-3646. Of course, if you want to send in your voicemail messages, just go to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious to make sure your voice is heard. Once again, that's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious to make sure your voice is heard. We got a lot of stuff to get into today, and two of the items that I'm going to touch on, possibly three of the items, is going to be the NBA. It's going to be Rich Paul, what he said about the Lakers, and what compelled LeBron James to give a response, because LeBron James is in the middle of that, all of that, at least in a lot of people's eyes. Giannis Antetokounmpo out of Milwaukee, booing Milwaukee Bucks fans as the Milwaukee Bucks were getting blown out by 40, getting blown out by the Minnesota Timberwolves without the services of Rudy Gobert and, of course, Ant-Man himself, Anthony Edwards. And then, of course, there is the Anthony Davis saga, the continuing Anthony Davis saga in Dallas that already got the GM fired. And who knows what the hell is going to happen moving forward because of how disappointing the Dallas Mavericks have been in a lot of people's eyes thus far this season. But before I get into that, we're going to revisit a couple of stories, or at least one story in particular that transpired yesterday involving the resignation of Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin resigning as head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. That happened right here on this show. It was announced, breaking news, by Adam Schefter. They made sure I had it immediately. And it was revealed that after 19 years as the head coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers, that Mike Tomlin had elected to step down as its head coach. Some people said, oh, please, he was about to be fired or whatever the case may be. Well, hold on here. It's not that simple. Mike Tomlin had 2 years left on his deal. His decision to walk away as opposed to waiting to be fired empowers the Pittsburgh Steelers to make sure that if he ends up departing for somewhere else, meaning this year or even next year, that there's some form of compensation that could potentially come a team's way if they want the services of Mike Tomlin. So we have to take that into consideration as well. Really, really look at that for what it is and go from there. In the end, just to revisit it, Mike Tomlin has been the coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers for the last 19 years. At no time did he ever have a season that was 500 or less. He won 8 AFC North titles, went to the postseason, you know, a number of times. Regular season 13 to be exact. Regular season record 119, 193, 114 and 2. That's 62.8% of his winning percentage, won a Super Bowl championship, went to two straight Super Bowls, not two straight, but two Super Bowls, went to two AFC titles, won two AFC titles, obviously, 19 straight non-losing seasons. But I'm going to revisit it by saying, if you thought this was a surprise that he would end up gone as the Steelers coach, you haven't been paying attention. The Steelers are a franchise that has 6 championships on their resume. And they haven't won a playoff game since 2016. That's nine seasons. It's now 10 years since they've won a playoff game. And so when they started chanting, fire Tomlin, you knew it was time. Because Pittsburgh doesn't do that. Steeler Nation doesn't do that. For them to get to that point, their frustration had just reached a tipping point and something had to be done. It's really that simple. There's no way to slice that. And so because that's the reality of the situation, he ended up walking away. What I find to be interesting is juxtaposing the position between Mike Tomlin, 19 years in Pittsburgh, and John Harbaugh, 18 years in Baltimore. Because the owner for the Baltimore Ravens spoke at a press conference yesterday. And to be quite honest with you, it was refreshing in its candor. He didn't pull any punches about John Harbaugh. He didn't pull any punches nor wiggle around the fact that, look, I made a decision. He's fired. Wasn't no walking away. That tells us that John Harbaugh didn't want to walk away, that he was forced to leave. And it might have hurt him and hurt him to the core, but nevertheless, he felt that the organization needed to move in a different direction. But rather than me putting words from the owner of the Baltimore Ravens in their mouth, perhaps you should hear from Steve Bisciotti himself and listen to what he said with regards to John Harbaugh's dismissal. Take it away, guys.
We led the league in giving up big leads in the fourth quarter. It's not something that winning organizations do. We have underperformed based on our seeding in the playoffs. Very disappointing. A lot of players involved, a lot of our great players involved, making mistakes that they don't make during the regular season very often. I made the decision, and it was a hard one. And as you all know, in your life, timing is never right. You can't say that timing is perfect in anything. But I got to the point that I didn't believe that I would feel regret after I made that decision.
He continued, because obviously when you let go of Lamar Jackson, I remember a reporter asking Steve Bisciotti if Loop had made the field goal attempt and won the game for the Baltimore Ravens, which would have propelled them to the AFC North crown and ultimately the playoffs, would that have changed Bisciotti's decision? Would that have led to Bisciotti making a different decision, or would it have changed the decision? And Bisciotti's response was, yeah, for about a week. In other words, he had made the decision John Harbaugh had to go, no matter what happened. And you got to respect him being honest about that, but inevitably, it brings us to Lamar Jackson and what it means for Lamar Jackson. And Steve Bisciotti, the owner for the Baltimore Ravens, spoke about that, too. Listen to what he had to say.
I told him his extension was, you know, we had some mechanism to keep him in place last year that we don't, or 3 years ago, that we don't necessarily have now. So I need to make sure that there's only one way. If he doesn't want to do an extension, then we throw those $74 million out into void years, and Lamar's coming back at the same cap number he was last year. You know, you can play with that money all you want. That's not what we want. You know, we want another window, and Lamar knows that. And I think that he's amenable to doing something that that mirrors the last deal he did, although the annual number will be a little higher. But I'm hoping that it's plug a new number in the same contract he signed last year and move on. And the urgency of that matters to me because we've got free agents, and I don't want to go into free agency with that hanging over our head.
Here's the reality of the situation. Lamar Jackson's got to handle his business. He's the star and the face of the franchise. And according to reports, John Harbaugh had turned him off to the point where even though they had a good relationship, they didn't hate one another or anything like that, Lamar Jackson is essentially checked out. And that can't happen. Which leads us to wondering about who the next head coach for the Baltimore Ravens should be. I know Mike McDaniels has heard from them. Who knows who else has heard from them, the Baltimore Ravens? I would say no on Mike McDaniels. I think Mike McDaniels is an elite offensive coordinator. I think he should end up in Philadelphia as its offensive coordinator and position himself for a good opportunity down the road by revitalizing the Philadelphia Eagles offense, which was not impressive this year, to say the least. Okay, with all the weapons that they had, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert and Saquon Barkley, even with a depleted offensive line, it was still one of the better offensive lines in the National Football League with Jalen Hurts, Super Bowl MVP as your quarterback, and an elite defense. There is no question that if you get the right offensive coordinator in there, Philadelphia can be back atop the NFC and perhaps the entire NFL. So Mike McDaniel should be thinking about the offensive coordinator's job in Philadelphia first and foremost. As it pertains to the Baltimore Ravens, a couple of coaches come to mind. Brian Flores, we can't ignore it. The Baltimore Ravens defense was ranked 30th. Who would have ever thought that? A defense once led by Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and T. Sizzle, Terrell Suggs and these boys would be 30th in the league. That is just blasphemy. That is just blasphemy. So we got to go that route. That's number one. Number two, We got Brian Flores because of what he did and what have you. That's to be a candidate. Raheem Morris, here's why I bring this up, even though he just got let go by Atlanta. The people that I speak to in the NFL religiously talk about how Raheem Morris has never had a quarterback. And if this brother could have a quarterback at his disposal, and of course he's good at cultivating relationships with his players, and then you combine all of that with the fact that it would be Lamar Jackson that is his quarterback. Raheem Morris getting the Baltimore Ravens job, that could be a big, big, big-time opportunity for him. But my man Swagoo, Marcus Spears, on First Take this morning, my day job from 10 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern Standard Time over the airways of ESPN every weekday morning. Swagoo was on the show with me this morning, and he brought up Robert Saleh. Now, here in New York City, obviously, it didn't work out that well for him with the New York Jets. But I got to remind y'all, when Robert Saleh was the head coach of the New York Jets, we didn't complain about their defense. As a matter of fact, we said that was a Super Bowl championship caliber defense. What he needed was a quarterback. So you could do what you needed to do offensively. And then Aaron Rodgers got hurt on the fourth play of his tenure with the New York Jets, and everything snowballed from there. But when you look at a Robert Saleh and how he comported himself in New York as the head coach for the franchise, you know he can handle being a Baltimore Raven. To me, I hear that he and Mike McDaniels, according to Peter Schrager, my colleague at ESPN, I hear he and Mike McDaniels are the best of friends. So Robert Saleh with Mike McDaniels as your offensive coordinator, that could be a big-time thing that works out for the Baltimore Ravens. We can't ignore that. We can't ignore that. Something to pay attention to. As it pertains to the Steelers, the job is not that impressive. And in terms of passing, Omar Khan, the general manager for the Pittsburgh Steelers, pass completions tied for 25th, completion percentage 18th, passing yards 27th, yards per attempt 24th, touchdown passes 29th, passer rating 21. Quarterbacks who started for Pittsburgh since 2002, Kenny Pickett, Mitchell Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, and a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers. I mean, damn, Omar Khan, you got to do something. You're lucky you ain't the one walking out the damn door. You got to do better. You just got to do better. And I'm going to leave it at that. But I thought it would be interesting to bring that up because what we have to understand, I think what's very, very important is that when you look at a situation juxtaposing Mike Tomlin to John Harbaugh, one could easily argue Mike Tomlin is the better candidate. No doubt about it. John Harbaugh's got some proving to do because you can't have these people out here saying your relationship with Lamar Jackson sort of soured and they didn't believe in you anymore. That's not a good look. Not when you're 63 years of age and looking for a new job. So I just wanted to touch on that and get that out the way. The other story that's percolating, it's in the National Basketball Association. One of them involves LeBron James. The other involves Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now, for those of you who aren't too familiar with what's been going on, let me help you out a little bit. So Rich Paul and my former colleague at ESPN, Max Kellerman, have a podcast together. And on that podcast, Rich Paul decided to bring up scenarios in which the Lakers could better themselves. And one of the things he talked about was how he would entertain moving Austin Reeves for somebody like a Jaren Jackson Jr. out of Memphis because the Lakers really, really needed some front court help to improve their defensive prowess because, you know what, they can't guard anybody. And then when you combine that with the fact that you're scoring, but you got to make that extra pass because as J.J. Redick hasn't hesitated to remind us, you know what, we have to play almost perfectly in order to be successful out here because, you know, we can't make a shot. J.J. is very, very candid and doesn't mince words, and we know that. And by Rich Paul saying that, it obviously had a lot of people raising their eyebrows, wondering if this is the latest thing where LeBron is using other folks to do his bidding, basically highlighting, you know, what moves the Lakers need to make in order to improve their chances of capturing the championship. Because we obviously know, as presently constructed, they ain't going to beat Oklahoma City. They ain't going to beat Denver. They possibly, likely won't beat Houston. And they don't seem like they'd beat San Antonio either, even though at this moment they're the fifth seed in the Western Conference. A lot of people are talking along those lines. My attitude is this. And I don't think they beat Minnesota, who, you know, took them out last year. Okay? My thing is this. First things first, there's a lot of people out there in the agency industry and in the NFL that don't believe Rich Paul should even be doing a damn podcast. I am not one of those people. My brother, do what you want to do. Whatever you feel is needed to build your brand and to help Clutch become even more prominent. Not only that, but to extend outlets for some of your clientele, go for it. It could end up being a very brilliant move. I can't sit up there and poo-poo that. I can't say that it's a bad idea or whatever it is, regardless of what any agent or anybody else says. Rich Paul has every right to do what the hell he wants to do. He's earned it. And he's a hell of an agent. And me personally, I think he's a really good guy. He and I are cool. We got a good relationship, the whole bit. I like Rich. I like Maverick, too. But let me say this. It's real easy to get on LeBron James, who spoke about it and said, essentially, Rich is his own man. And LeBron had something to say about that. But before I even go into that, let me let y'all hear Rich Paul speaking for himself on his podcast with Max Kellerman. Listen up.
Some way, somehow, I would be trying to get Jaren Jackson, maybe get back Gigi Jackson, Jackson and Jackson Associates, because he's a young player that you can develop, mm-hmm. got good size, can shoot the ball. But I think if you're building around Luka going forward, which they are.
You need a guy like
you
that.
You need that yeah. anchor. And Jaren doesn't want to be a part of a rebuild. They just put Ja Morant on the market, right, saying that they're willing to trade him, et cetera.
It's a great call.
So I think that would be a trade partner for me. Now, the package just goes out. Is what you have to decide, because if you're able to trade out expirings and give up the last first round pick you got, that could be one scenario, right? Or you could say, let me withhold that, but this comes with a
Austin Reeves.
This comes with a very unemotional attachment, because Austin is beloved, which he should be.
But he's about to get paid.
He's an underdog. And here's the thing. If there's a world where you can do what's best for your team and do what's best for Austin, because Austin deserves to get paid.
I see nothing wrong with what Rich Paul said, other than the fact that people are going to think LeBron James is saying it, and he's saying it through LeBron James, which is why it's important to hear what LeBron James had to say about this. And this is a quote from LeBron James. I think you all know by now, Rich is his own man. And what Rich says is not a direct reflection of me and how I feel. And I hope people know that. I hope people know that. And if they're not sensible to know that, then I don't know what to tell them. Fair statement on the part of LeBron James. I think LeBron James is telling the truth. And I think that Rich is entitled to say what he said, because that was basketball analysis and business, because obviously for a deal to be made, you're going to have to take into account the parts that are going to be necessary to make a deal happen. And because that's your reality, you also got to pay attention to the fact that, you know, what is it going to take? And Rich Paul's job is to know what it's going to take. And he just laid it out there for you. I see no problem with it. All I want to say to Rich Paul in regards to that is that I totally believe him. I totally believe LeBron James and what LeBron James said. Just understand that most people are not going to believe. Because there have been too many times in the past where moves have been made, whether it be in Cleveland or L.A. specifically, where LeBron James' fingerprints were on it. And considering how tight they are with one another and how much trust and belief LeBron plays, you know, how much trust and belief he has in Rich Paul, who the hell is going to believe that a statement like that is being made and LeBron James has nothing to do with it? Well, one of his teammates possibly being shipped out. Because you know everybody still believed Darvin Ham was out, J.J. Redick was in, even though I think J.J. Redick's a hell of a coach and he's doing a hell of a job. But how it went down, you know, we were born at night, not last night. We understand. Darvin Ham is dead, gets you to the Western Conference Finals. LeBron James has a podcast. You know, he's doing it with J.J. Redick. The next thing you know, Darvin Ham is out, J.J. Redick's in. People connect the dots. It's what they're going to do. And if something happens involving Austin Reeves, they're going to believe that here as well. I don't believe that to be the case at all. I believe Rich Paul and I believe LeBron James. But that doesn't mean that other people are going to believe it, including Austin Reeves. And that's what you got to watch out for with this. Giannis Antetokounmpo is another subject that I'm going to get to. But I'm going to wait until after I get back into a little NFL talk as well. I'm going to get into Giannis Antetokounmpo because it involves my Knicks. And I'll explain why in a little while. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. LeBron and Rich Paul just have to recognize that 99 times out of 100, whatever comes out of Rich Paul's mouth about a team that involves LeBron James, people are going to believe it's LeBron James telling Rich Paul to say that. Again, I want to emphasize, I don't believe that in this case. I believe both of them are telling the truth. But people are going to believe otherwise. Just know that. Just know that. And Rich Paul has to know that. As he's doing this podcast, as he's speaking his mind and saying what he feels and saying what he knows, people are going to believe what they want to believe because of the relationship. There's just no way around that. Just know that and be cool with whatever fallout comes with it. 888-MAD-DOG-6, 888-623-3646. Back with your calls and more in a minute. Plus, former head coach for the New York Jets, former head coach for the Buffalo Bills, former defensive coordinator extraordinaire, current ESPN analyst, one and only Rex Ryan, is on the show with us next. Don't go away. You're listening live to Stephen A., Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio.